helpful to us. We began the discussion about the role of Kavana, particularly in the realm of Averas, and also we're going to move on to the realm of Mitzvos and the realm of other areas of Allah as well. But in terms of the realm of Averas, so we had a running machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, where the Dovah Shedem is Kavin is also where the Dovah Shedem is Kavin is Mutter. If I do action A, and there's a chance that action B may take place, action A itself is permissible, action B is an Avera, so am I allowed to do action A? Is that a problem or not? So we had a machlekes in a Shabbos, and a machlekes in a Kol Torah Kula, and a Sha'am the Rishonim, is it a Derais, and the Rabbanah, all the lumdas we had from last week, but when all the dust settled, there is a machlekes at Tanaim, and we pass in Halacha, absolutely like Rabbi Shimon, that in all areas of Halacha, the Dovashen Miskavet is in fact the Mutter. Nevertheless, the Gemara does put the brakes on Dovashen Miskavet, and the Gemara says that if it's a Psik Resha, if I know for a fact that B is going to happen, or if it's close, pretty sure that B is going to happen, that's considered to be a Psik Resha. And a Psik Resha, even Rabbi Shimon agrees, is problematic. So we have the basic bit of Dovashen Miskavet, and we have the limitation of Psik Resha, but even with Psik Resha, the Gemara makes a further breakdown. The Gemara says that there's a difference whether the Psik Resha is nichalei or whether it's lo nichalei. If I want B to happen, that wasn't my primary intent, but I'm very happy that it happens. So that's a psik resha, the nichalei, that's a problem. But if it's a psik resha, the lo nichalei, so that's somewhat less of a problem. That's what we kind of left off hanging last week. So there is a machlekes erishonim, an important conceptual machlekes, a machlekes erishonim about how do we view something that's a psik resha, the lo nichalei. If I'm doing action A, I know for a fact action B is going to happen. I really couldn't care less. Either I don't want it to happen, or most Rishonim say I don't care that it's going to happen. So the example that usually given is, I want to wash the Tulsi Dayim. That's my goal. And I'm going to wash the Tulsi Dayim in somebody else's backyard. I couldn't care less whether his grass grows. He's not my friend. The bottom of it does. I don't care one way or the other. Am I permitted to do that or not? Is that that's a psikration lo nichalei? What exactly is the status of a psikration lo nichalei? So the Tosfos quotes from the opinion of the Aruch, one of the early period of the Rishonim, that the Aruch's opinion is that whenever you have a psikration lo nichalei, that's het gomer. We got to write this down. Okay, het gomer. There's nothing to discuss, says the Aruch. Conceptually, because a psikration lo nichalei is not called a psikration, it's called Dov Shedem Iskavin, and we fall back on the old principle of last week. Dov Shedem Iskavin is Mutter. It's Mutter and Shabbos, Mutter and Kol Torah Kula. There's no strings attached. According to the simple reading of the Aruch, anytime you have a Psik Resha, Lo Nichalei, it's Mamish Hetzer Gomer in all areas of Halacha. And Tosfos, and probably most of the Rishonim, disagree with the Aruch, and say no, that a Psik Resha, the Lo Nichalei, is still potentially called a Psik Resha. It's still bound by the rules of Psik Resha. It happens to be a quirk in Hilchas Shabbos, you're not chaya for it. But for a very, very technical reason, that's a very small Tosfos tucked away with Shabbos. But Tosfos says, if you think about it, every psik resha lo nichalei happens to also be a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, which is a totally different principle in Hilchas Shabbos. Malacha she'ena tzricha legufa means that I'm doing an action, I know full well what I'm doing, I'm planning on doing what I'm doing. The only thing is that I'm doing it for a different purpose. Let's say, for example, the Mishnah says, I'm carrying out a mace on Shabbos. I'm carrying a dead body out of the house into the street. So that's not a Dov Shedem Iskavin. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm planning on doing. But the only thing is, I don't want to use the mace. I want to remove the mace. So whenever you do a malacha for a radically different purpose than the malacha was originally practiced, that's called malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. So Taisis in Masechta Shabbos explains that a psik resha, the lo nichalei, is still called a psik resha. It's a 100% full-fledged psik resha. It's just a quirk in Hilchas Shabbos. It happens to be potter because malach she'etzich leguf happens to be potter in Hilchas Shabbos. So it comes out that bein lefi aruch, bein lefi Taisis, if a person does a psik resha, the lo nichalei, and Shabbos, he's not chaya for that. There's no diraisa involved, no question about it. But conceptually, why is there no diraisa? According to the aruch, because it's a Dov Shedem Iskavin, that's the name of the ptur. And according to Taisus, no, it's not called a Dov Shedem Iskavin, it's a psik resha. Whether you're kavod or no kavod, doesn't matter. It's a psik resha. The only thing is your potter goes malach shetzich legufa. My nafkamina between Taisus and the aruch. So two very important nafkaminas. One nafkamina is a mutl chatchila. So we know that Dov Shedem Iskavin is mutl chatchila. Malach shetzich legufa is also a derabanan. So what would it then be? Halacha l'maaseh. I want to know, can I wash the Tulsi Dayim in somebody else's backyard? So according to the Aruch, the answer is absolutely yes. Mutter l'chatchila. A malach is happening. That doesn't bother me. That doesn't concern me. It's a psik resha lo nichalei, which is a halach equivalent of a dov shedem iskavin. And according to Tosfos, the answer to the question would be no. It's not the mutter l'chatchila. It's still aser. It's aser b'derabanan. You're not going to be chayiv for it, because it's a malach she'etzich legufa. But according to Tosfos, conceptually, it's still retains the status of a psikoresha, notwithstanding the fact that it's lo nichalei, and therefore it's going to at least be also b'derabbanan. So this is a running machlekes harishonim, and it's in fact the shulchan aruch of refers to both of the opinions. We're generally machmer in the shayla. We usually assume that a psikoresha lo nichalei is at least also b'derabbanan. This is part of, without getting too far afield to nuchah Shabbos, this is a lot part of the issue of walking past security cameras and walking past the sensors, all these kind of things, and very often run into issues of psikoresha lo nichalei. So we don't take the attitude that the psikoresha lo nichalei, therefore everything's okay, everything's mutter. That would be the Oroch's approach. So we take the approach that psikoresha lo nichalei is not so terrible, but it's still not quite mutter, and you have to try to find other mitigating factors, if possible, to make it perhaps permissible. So this is the first major nafkamina within the two opinions in the Aruch and the Tosfos, as to how do you view the relationship between the Dabashim Miskav and Psikresh, Lo Nichalei, etc. There's another important machlokes, lahalacha, that's what the Rosh points out in Masechet Shabbos, is that how would all of this play out in other areas of halacha, in Kol Torah Kula? Not in Hilchos Shabbos. What would it be of a psikresha, the lo nichalei, in other areas of halacha? So comes the Rosh and says, depends who you ask. So according to the Aruch, l'chora, a psikresha, lo nichalei, in other areas of halacha, l'chora should be mutter. Because if it's called a davar shel miskaven, so it's a davar shel miskaven, it's mutter in all areas of halacha. So l'chora, I say l'chora because there's a comment of a Rosh somewhere else that seems to question this, but the simple pshat in the Rosh is that according to the Aruch, if you have a psikresha lo nichalei in all areas of halacha, not just the Shabbos, it's by definition going to be mutter, because the equation on the board, if I had a blackboard here, I draw the equation, according to the Aruch, psikresha lo nichalei equals davar shel miskaven. So whenever it's a davar shel miskaven, it's mutter l'chatchila. Whereas according to Tosfos, nothing doing. According to Tosfos, if you have a psikresha lo nichalei outside of Shabbos, it's an issa d'araisa. Because according to Tosfos, a psikresha, the lo nichalei, is fundamentally also, it's fundamentally a psikresha. The only mitigating factor in Shabbos is Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa doesn't apply outside of Shabbos. That's a din that's unique to Hilchos Shabbos that will have no bearing in other areas of halacha. So that'll be another important nafkamina of din. So Mishnah Berurah makes this ha'ara that if you follow most of the Rishonim, so it'll come out that a psikresha lo nichalei in all other areas of halacha short of Shabbos is going to be very, very problematic. So again, so this is the basic background in terms of the role of kavana as it relates to what's called the davar shel miskaven, what's called psikresha nichalei, lo nichalei, etc. There is one last nekuda I wanted to speak about related to the davar shel miskaven as it relates to isurim, and I want to make the bridge over to the beginning of the sugya relating to mitzvos, and that's an issue that's raised both by the Taz and Rabbi Kiveger as they discuss the klolim of davar shel miskaven, a very strange concept. We usually translate davar shel miskaven to mean, I'm doing action A, and I don't really know whether action B is going to take place. That's the basic definition of davar shel miskaven. In contrast, the psikresha means, I'm doing action A, and I know. Either I know 100% or I know 51%, whatever you define, whatever your threshold of knowing is, but I know, quote unquote, that action B is going to take place. So usually the difference between davar shel miskaven and psikresha, the davar shel miskaven is I'm not sure, and psikresha is I'm very, very sure. So come to Bikiveger, the beginning of Hilchos Bos B'cholov, and coins a new phrase, which at first glance sounds like it's a contradiction in Eobay. Says with Bikiveger, sometimes you can have a situation that's called a suffix psikresha. Suffix psikresha. We just got finished saying that the definition of psikresha means that it's not a suffix. Isn't every suffix psikresha called a davar shel miskaven? Says with Bikiveger, no. He says there's the following difference. To highlight the difference, he gives you the following mashal. He quotes a Ramah in Hilchos Bos B'cholov of all places, which highlights this distinction. The Ramah has a discussion about the following question. We know there's an issue in the Torah to cook bas b'cholov. Besides eating bas b'cholov, of course, l'savashah v'dikim shuto, you're not permitted to cook bas b'cholov. What's the din if a Jew and a Goy are camping out somewhere and they're sharing a fireplace, sharing a fire, and the Jew has his pots over the fire and the Goy has his pots over the fire, and I have no idea what's in the Goy's pot. Maybe there's bas b'chol in the Goy's pot. I have no idea. And I want to stir the coals. Why do I want to stir the coals? Because I want to cook up my food. There's a chance that maybe by stirring up the coals to cook up my food, I'm going to be hastening the cooking of the Goy's food as well. And that may be a violation of bas b'chol. I have no idea what's in the pot. Maybe he's cooking cereal in the pot. I don't know what's in there, but there's a possibility that I'm not necessarily interested in finding out. So he's cooking away something, and by my stirring the coals, that's going to be enhancing the cooking of his food. But I don't know what's in the pot. So the question is, am I permitted to do that or not? So should we call that a dovish and a miskaven of bishul bosa b'cholov? Should we say that my intent is not to cook his food? My intent is to cook my food. Eloa, there's a chance, we want to call it a 50-50 chance, sometimes he eats bas b'chol, sometimes not. So there's a 50-50 chance that he may be, there may be bas b'chol cooking there. So can I permit what I'm doing? Because my intent is fundamentally to cook my own food. So 50-50 chance it's going to cook the goyish bas b'chol. That shouldn't be a problem based on the principle of Dovr Shenim Iskavit. Can we permit that or not? So Rabbi Kivega suggests that no. He says that would be a misapplication of the principle of Dovshem Miskavim. Right? Says Rabbi Kivega, the principle of Dovshem Miskavim means when you have what's called a Sofek Lahaba, when I want to do action A and I don't know what the result is going to be. My not knowing is because I don't know the future. I'm not a Navi. So I don't know whether it's going to make a hole. I don't know whether the grass is going to grow. I don't know whether the hair is going to be pulled out when I play with my hair. Whatever the case may be, there's some piece of information, Bikana Lahaba, that I'm not aware of. That's called the Dovr Shenim Iskavim. But when the latest asofik, there's more kasher shmeitzer kind of a topic, when the latest asofik, when the doubt is not about something in the future, but the doubt is about some piece of information in the past, I just don't have, I'm not privy to that information, but that information exists. It already is all there, everything is there already, it just, I don't know about it. That's called the asofik l'sha'avar, and it's a totally different type of asofik. So over here, the asofik is not, will my stirring the coals be enough to cook up somebody's bas b'chol? That's not the suffix. The suffix is there bas b'chol there or not? So says Rabbi Kivega, that's not a call to Dovr Shenim Iskavim. That's what call, believe it or not, that was that strange phrase that Rabbi Kivega coined, called the suffix psikresha. If there's bas b'chol in the pot, then it's a vaday, isra bishul bas b'chol. If there's no bas b'chol in the pot, then it's a vaday, not an isra of bishul bas b'chol. Since I don't know whether there's bas b'chol in the pot or not, that's called the suffix isra bishul bas b'chol. And what do you do with a suffix isra bas b'chol? So yeah, suffix the rice of the chumrah. So therefore, you're not permitted to stir the coals. That's Rabbi Kivega's famous chiddush in the beginning of Hilchos bas b'chol. That is not subject to the rules of Dovr Shenim Iskavim. Dovr Shenim Iskavim only means when there's some kind of a suffix from here on in. Whenever the suffix is related to the past, that's a different ballgame. It's a different category.
According to the definition of Dovr Shenim Iskavim is I mean to take some grass that's been cut already and actually cut.
No, so that's besides a different story. Dovr Shenim Iskavim means I know that there's a chance that by playing with my hair, some of the hair may fall out. I know that. It's not that all of a sudden I come to tremendous chiddush that the hair fell out. I know there's a chance that it may happen, but I'm not interested in pulling out the hair. That's called Dovr Shenim Iskavim. So that's what the Kivega's tremendous chiddush. So notwithstanding his chiddush, he himself is ma'orer that the ta is already pre few years before the Kivega already disagreed. What was the case of the Taz? The Taz was talking about a famous case that Rishonim described in Hilchos Shabbos, where most of the din of Dovr Shenim Iskavim was the Kreish Apir, and that's in terms of the famous box with the flies. Rishonim discussed a Shaila, a person wants to sit down on Shabbos, there's a box in front of him, the box is uncovered. So he wants to know, can I put a cover on the box to sit down on it, if there are flies in the box? I'm not interested in trapping the flies. So is that called a Dovr Shenim Iskavim? Is that called a Psikresha? The Nichle, Lo Nichle, the Raisa, the Rabbana, all the Tumul and the Rishonim revolves around that discussion about can I put the box on the lid on the box with the possibility or probability or certainty that the flies are going to get caught. So in the middle of that discussion, the Taz has the following chiddush. The Taz writes that that there may be a problem. That's if I know that there are flies in the box. What if it's dark in the room? I can't tell. There's a chance. Maybe there are flies in the box. Maybe not. I don't know where the flies in the box. Hard to see. So the Taz says that it's okay. Then there's nothing wrong. Then it's mutar lechatchila to cover the box. Why? Because that's not called the psikresha. Since I don't know whether there are flies in the box or not, that's called a Dovr Shenim Iskavim, and we pass it. But Rishim and Dovr Shenim Iskavim is mutar lechatchila. So it comes with Bikvegman and says, according to my Hagadara, according to my Mechudish Dukkah definition of Dovr Shenim Iskavim, whenever it's a Sofek L'sha'avar, whenever the nature of the doubt is that I'm not privy to certain information, but the information is there, I just don't know about it, so that doesn't qualify as a Dovr Shenim Iskavim. That's called a Sofek Psikresha. So then the Taz's case is not correct. So the Taz should have asserted to put the cover on the box, even if it's only a doubt whether there are flies there. So Kivega says, okay, so I'm disagreeing with the Taz. Okay, you should just know that I'm disagreeing with the Taz. So the Mishnah Berura says that Kivega didn't necessarily disagree with the Taz. That Rabbi Kivega may be right, and the Taz may still be right. Why? So the Mishnah Berura has the following ha'ara. He says, even if Rabbi Kivega is right, that there's a concept called a suffix psigresha, because that's not called a davar shenei miskaven. That means it's a suffix. So it's a suffix psigresha. What do you do in a case of a suffix? So when you have a deraisa, you have to be machmer. When you have a derabanan, then you can be makel. It's no better, no worse than any other suffix derabanan lekula. So says the Mishnah, if you go back to the Tafiyomi from a couple of weeks ago, so the Gemara spoke about trapping flies. Trapping flies is not a deraisa, because it's what's called aim amino nitzo. It's not normal to trap flies. Most people don't have pet fly collections. So since trapping flies is only a derabanan anyway, any suffix and seidas flies is going to be mutter based on suffix derabanan lakula. So conceptually the Taz may not be right, says the Mishnah. Conceptually the Gemara may be right. That a suffix segregation may be a problem. That whenever the information is there, I just don't know about it, that may be a problem. But afal pichein, still, in the case of the Taz, is going to be mutter because it's a suffix. It's like the suffix. It's still mutter because suffix derabanan lekula. So the Mishnah Berurah says that even if we'll accept Rebbe Kivega's chiddush, against tremendous chiddush of Rebbe Kivega, even if we'll accept it, it'll only play out lemaisa in terms of deraisas. Whenever there's going to be a derabanan involved, so we're just going to hide behind suffix derabanan lekula anyway. So what are the ramifications of this Rebbe Kivega? There's some of your ramifications. The most common shot of Rebbe Kivega is as follows. A person wants to open up the refrigerator on Shabbos and they can't remember whether they turned off the bulb or not. They remember the old style, you know, we haven't had a bulb in our refrigerator in 40 years. I said, got the first fridge, took out the bulb, threw it away, and that's it. Never have to worry about it. But when I was a kid, so every Friday afternoon, my mother would unscrew the light bulb. And every 10 years or so, she would forget to unscrew the light bulb. So you get all the crisis about what do you do. So what if you realize Friday night that I don't know for a fact that I didn't unscrew it. I don't remember. I'm not sure it was a 50-50 chance. I was busy Friday afternoon, last minute. I don't know, did I unscrew? I can't remember unscrewing it or not. So what's the din? Can you open up the refrigerator or not? So, a lechur according to the Taz's mother. It's a davar shenei miskaven. Means I don't know whether the light bulb's going to go on or not. So Rebbe Kivega says, no. He says, that's not a davar shenei miskaven. He says, that's a statement of metzias. There's a fact l'sha'avar that you don't know. Namely, is the bulb screwed in or not? If the bulb was screwed in, it will definitely go on when you open the fridge. If the bulb is not screwed in, then it's not going to go on when you open the fridge. So that's like, is there a fly in the box? Is there not a fly in the box? But that's like, is there bus b'chol in the goy spot? Or is there no bus b'chol in the goy spot? Now, turning on the light bulb, I don't know what the light bulbs are now, because I haven't seen a light bulb in the fridge in years, but the old bulbs used to be regular, they're still incandescent bulbs, right? I don't know. If they're regular incandescent bulbs, which are really their isas, the way we passed in the Chaladeus, so that would be a suffix their isas. According to the Rebbe Kivega, that would be a problem. According to the Taz, it's mutlach etchim. You can open up the fridge and hope and pray for the best. And if you lost the gamble, then you can't close it. That's your problem. But in terms of the opening of the fridge, so according to the simple reading of the Taz, according to Rebbe Kivega, that would be a problem. So again, there are some real ramifications of this machlokes as to how to define precisely davar shenei miskaven and psik reisha. So we're not going to get into all the nitty gritty applications in terms of Shabbos about their ices and their abundance and chad abundance and trade abundance. Those are already more of Hilchah Shabbos oriented. But I just want to at least highlight some of the basics in terms of the role of kavana. So in terms of in the realm of averos, so kavana plays a critical role because we follow Rabbi Shimon. The davar shenei miskaven is fundamentally mutter. However, not everything is a davar shenei miskaven. Psegresha could potentially override davar shenei miskaven, and then you have to figure out what's called a psegresha, not called psegresha. Sveik is vatet. But now I want to move on to the realm of mitzvot, as to what role, if any, does kavana play in terms of mitzvot. So here we run into a very, very famous sugi appears in a few places in Shas. The sugi called mitzvot tzrichas kavana, mitzvot ein tzrichas kavana. A basic fundamental question, anytime I do a mitzvah, is it necessary for me to be mechavein l'shem that mitzvah? In order to fulfill the mitzvah, is it necessary for me to do it for the purpose of that mitzvah? Or even if I do that action for other purposes, I would still be yaitzei. So Toskim is quick to point out that obviously lechatchila, a person should do all mitzvahs l'shma, not for other ulterior motives. That's not our sugya. That's a musa sugya. That's not a halacha sugya. The sugya of davar shenei miskaven means that I'm doing a particular maisa, which happens to be a maisa mitzvah, but I'm doing it shelo b'teres mitzvah. I'm eating matzah because I like the taste. I'm blowing shofar because I like the sound. I'm reading, saying the words of Kriya Shema because I'm fixing the Sefer Torah. So I'm going through the motions of the mitzvah, but my mind is not having in mind. I didn't have in mind the shame of that mitzvah. I'm clearly having in mind for some other purpose. So what's the din? Is mitzvah tzrichas kavana or mitzvah zein tzrichas kavana? Also, the Mishnah Berurah is quick to point out that mitzvah tzrichas kavana, even if you accept that, which we don't necessarily do, but even if you accept that opinion, that mitzvah tzrichas kavana, that means that a person is doing the mitzvah for some other reason. What if a person just stops, comes to shul, puts on his tefillin, and he's not thinking about anything, he's just putting on his tefillin by rope? So the Mishnah Berurah says, of course you yaitzei the mitzvah. Again, is that lechatchila? No, you should try to have in mind when you're doing mitzvah, what you're doing it for. But that's not the topic of mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Every case in the Gemara, mitzvah tzrichas kavana, ain't tzrichas kavana, means I'm doing it for another reason. To kail the shear, I'm blowing shofar to hear the sound. Kafu lechol matzah, somebody's forcing me to eat the matzah. I'm kari b'toyra and he gives man kriyashma. Every case, I'm doing something else, and just by mistake, so to speak, I end up doing the mitzvah as well. So is that considered to be a mitzvah not? But if I'm doing the mitzvah, for what other reason am I putting tefillin on? I woke up in the morning, I'm half asleep, I'm not having in mind, but what else did I come to shul for? Not to put on tefillin. So obviously that's called like a subconscious level of kavanah. That's not our topic. Ashlugi is a person who's really doing the mitzvah for another reason, and he didn't have in mind l'shem mitzvah as well, would he fulfill the mitzvah not? So mitzvah tzrichas kavanah, mitzvah tzrichas tzrichas kavanah. So how do we paskin halacha the shaila? So you have sugyas in Rosh Hashanah, and then in Pesachim, and then in Brachos. Every couple of mesechtas, you run into the sugya. And how do we paskin? So it's unclear. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which is the primary sugya, leaves us hanging. At one stage, the Gemara seems to say Mitzvah Angelus Kavanah, the Gemara seems to backtrack, Machlekes Rishonim. So the bottom line is, Machlekes Rishonim, what the din is, and it's quoted two days in Shulchan Aruch. And finally, Shulchan Aruch gives the absolute, almost psach, that mitzvah strichas kavanas. So Anuchas Kriyishma, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that mitzvah strichas kavanas. That's how we are going to work with that assumption that most probably mitzvahs do need kavana. When we say that mitzvah strichas kavana, so are there any exceptions to that rule? Are there certain mitzvahs that maybe mitzvah strichas kavana wouldn't apply to? So there is a major machlekes in the later poskim as to what exactly the Shulchan Aruch meant when the Shulchan Aruch was machriya, so to speak. The Shulchan Aruch came up with this conclusion that mitzvah tzrichas kavanah, because the Shulchan Aruch holds both opinions. It says yeshom tzrichas, yeshom ein tzrichas. For halacha, that mitzvah tzrichas kavanah. So what exactly did the Shulchan Aruch mean with that? So some of the chachamim write that what the Shulchan Aruch meant was is that he wasn't sure, that he threw his hands up, and it says some Rishonim say one way, some Rishonim say another way. The Rambam says himself, everyone has what to say. We don't know what to do. So b'tara safek mitzvah tzrichas kavanah. If that would be the case, if it was only b'tara safek, that would lead us to believe that v'med devar mamurim, that we're going to paskin that mitzvah tzrichas kavanah, that's the mitzvah d'oraisa. So if a guy eats the matzah, shlobu kavanah, he blows the shofar, those are mitzvahs d'oraisa. So we're going to have to be machmir that mitzvah tzrichas kavanah. What if the mitzvah involved is only a mitzvah midrabanan? If it's only a mitzvah midrabanan, then maybe we have a right to be megal. Maybe we have a right to say that mitzvah tzrichas kavanah is only b'tara safek, and therefore by mitzvahs d'rabbanan safek d'rabbanan l'kula. That's what the Magen Avraham says. The Magen Avraham Ruchas Kriyishma says, yeah, that's the din. That the medrash who are mitzvahs tzrichas kavanah for other mitzvahs, for mitzvahs d'rabbanan, and mitzvahs d'rabbanan, not the end of the world. We can be making that mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavanah. And the Gemara disagrees. The Gemara says, no. And when the Shulchan Aruch paskins mitzvahs tzrichas kavanah, it's not b'tara safek, not because we're not sure. We know, we're sure, 100%, is the nimna v'gamru, the final psach l'aloch is mitzvahs tzrichas kavanah for all mitzvahs, both the Rais and the Rabbanim. So again, according to some poskim, the Rabbanans may have been an exception, but others disagree with them. Are there any other mitzvahs that Kavanah doesn't play such a critical role? So the Prima Gadim raises a question about what's the role of Kavanah in the realm of mitzvahs b'Arm L'Chaveroi. The person is giving tzedakah. The person is doing chesed. The person is doing some kind of a mitzvah b'Arm L'Chaveroi. So is it necessary to do it b'Toras Kavanah now? You have to have in mind l'shem mitzvah. What if I'm doing it for other reasons? I'm not doing it b'Toras mitzvah. I'm doing it for other reasons. Is that good enough or not? So the Prima Gadim brings a raya that you see b'Feirush that you yaitse mitzvahs b'Arm L'Chaveroi even without Kavanah. Why? Rashi and Chumash quotes this. He says, if a person drops tzedakah, drops money out of his pocket, and a poor person comes and takes the money and uses the money, so the person gets schar for fulfilling the mitzvah of tzedakah. How do you know that? It's like leket. I don't really know that the person ever got it. I dropped something. I left something. Shikha. I left my grain behind. Leket. I dropped the grain, whatever it is, and the ani comes and takes it. So the man of bracha, Hashem leket, Hashem gives you a bracha. So even though I wasn't planning on doing anything, so you see from here that in the realm of tzedakah and yonim, a person gets chayav for the mitzvah, even though it's even less than kavanah. It's maybe called misasek, whatever you want to call it. It's nothing. I didn't even know I was doing the mitzvah. I wasn't even aware that anything was happening. I still consider it to get chayav. So Taka, why is that conceptually? Why should mitzvahs b'ram l'chaveiro be different than mitzvahs b'ram l'makom? So suggest, I don't know what the people God himself says, others say this, that the difference is there's a fundamental distinction between the role of mitzvahs b'ram l'mokko, mitzvahs b'ram l'chaveiro. Mitzvahs b'ram l'chaveiro are more result-oriented than mice-oriented. It means the kavanas of Torah is, the Torah wants that the other person should get his tzedakah. The Torah wants the other person should receive his chesed. The action, I have to do an action in order to make sure that person gets the tzedakah. But in theory, if the tzedakah could take place without my action, so matay, so the tachlis, the toelas, is more important than the pa'ul itself. When it comes to mitzvahs, b'ram l'mokom, so the mitzvah blowing shofar. So there's a tachlis of the mitzvah blowing shofar in a sense. It's the pa'ula, the ma'isa mitzvah. The Torah wants that each and every Jew should hear shofar Rosh Hashanah. Each and every Jew should eat matzah on the Pesach. The Torah wants that there should be matzah calories inside your stomach on Pesach. That's what the Torah wants. The result, the Torah wants the ma'isa chila. So the ma'isa chila, we pass, it has to be done, derech kavana. The ma'isa, or whatever you want to call it, ma'isa, tkir shofar, shmir shofar, whatever you want to call it, has to be done, derech kavana. Whenever we're dealing with a mitzvah where the pa'ula is the key, so then kavana plays a critical role. Whenever we're talking about a mitzvah where the result is result oriented, then the kavanah plays much less of a role, because of course, if the result happens, whether it had in mind or not, so then it makes a lot of sense that mitzvahs b'ram l'chaveiro maybe wouldn't be subject to kavanah. That's why, if I'm not mistaken, I think the Prebu Gadol himself has a suffix in Hilchos Purim about some of the mitzvahs that we perform on Purim, or he has a borderline question: what are the nature of these mitzvahs? Say the mashal, the mitzvah of Shloch Manos, the mitzvah of Matanos Avyonim. So he has a shayla: do you have to have kavanah when you do these mitzvahs? Say, I go ahead and I give a nice gift of food to somebody. I wasn't really paying attention at it in terms of Purim. I wasn't thinking about it in terms of Purim. I wasn't giving it b'toras mitzvah. And then all of a sudden I realize, hey, I'm good. I just knocked off Mishloach Manos. I've been realizing it. So not so posh. So the Prima Gurim says, maybe you have to give another Mishloach Manos, because when you gave it the first time, you didn't do it L'Shem Mitzvah. Well, let's say I gave some tzedakah on Purim morning. Guy's walking around shul. I gave, handed him a couple of frutas. And then I realize, oh, that was good. That was nice of me. I just fulfilled the mitzvah Matanos Avyonim. Not so simple. Maybe a person has to have in mind the Shem Mitzvah Mishloach Manos. Maybe a person has to have in mind the Shem Mitzvah of Matanos Avyonim. So isn't that Prima Gurim? Is that sure? What's the latest asafi? Why should you say that these mitzvahs require kavanah, don't require kavanah? So maybe based on what we're saying, is that these mitzvahs hayom of Purim, what's the nature of these mitzvahs hayom? Are these mitzvahs hayom basically mitzvahs b'ram l'chaveiro? That the chachamim were misakein, that you have to give mishloach manos to somebody, you have to give matanos avyonim to somebody, but they're fundamentally mitzvahs of b'ram l'chaveiro? Or do you say, no, that these are more b'ram l'mokom, in the sense of these are the way the Chazal Institute to celebrate Purim. This is the way we make a zeichel aneis. We make a zeichel aneis by giving matanos avyonim, we give a zeichel aneis by giving mishloach manos. These are part of my b'ram l'mokom celebration of Purim. So the same way that Kriyas HaMegillah may require kavana, that's a mitzvah b'ram l'mokom. Maybe all the mitzvahs at Yom Kippur are also like mitzvahs b'ram l'mokom. So a normal mitzvah tzedakah is b'ram l'chaveiro, and maybe wouldn't be subject to kavana. But a mitzvah of Purim Dika Tzedakah, Purim Dika Mishloach Manos, these are not regular mitzvahs of chesed. These are mitzvahs as part of the celebration of b'ram l'mokom, of how to celebrate Purim properly. Maybe these mitzvahs require kavana. So maybe that's what's behind the suffix in the postgame, whether you require kavana for these mitzvahs. But again, we're working with the assumption that the Prima Gadim is correct, that certain mitzvahs that are pure, but on the chaveiro, I don't need kavanah, because the idea of kavanah doesn't make any sense out of the realm of mitzvahs b'ram l'mokom. Notwithstanding the Prima Gadim, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman disagrees. This piece in Rabbi Chanan is not a piece in halacha, it's a piece that appears in his Sefer and Drush, in the Kibbutz Mamorim, a whole series of different drushas. So Rabbi Chanan has, in the middle of a whole Lomdash drusha, so he has this assumption against, he's working without the Prima Gadim. He's working with the assumption that if a person gives tzedakah and he doesn't have in mind the Shei Mitzvah, so he wouldn't fulfill the mitzvah. That seems to explain away. I can remember, a whole Razdazes Chukot Torah. So he's working with the other Mahalach. He's working with Mahalach that, no, mitzvahs require kavanah all the time. Everything requires kavanah. But you go with the other Mahalachs, and then only mitzvahs of Lamakom require kavanah, not Ben Lamakom. And then you have to figure out which mitzvahs are falling between the cracks, which categorizes Ben Lamakom, which perhaps are Ben So again, so the starting point is that mitzvahs tzrichas kavanah. We pass in halacha mitzvahs to require kavanah. Are there exceptions that are ruled? There are certain mitzvahs that don't require kavanah, so maybe mitzvahs derabanan, not because conceptually they're different, but because the whole din of mitzvahs tzrichas kavanah maybe is on a b'teres safek. And the second possible distinction is b'nam l'makom versus b'nam l'chaveiro. On the other side of the equation, are there any mitzvahs that for sure require kavanah? Any mitzvahs that kuliyamu lepligi require kavanah under all circumstances? So here you find the major machlekes rishonim in the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Brachos. The Gemara has one of the famous sugyas of mitzvahs kavanah. appears in the second parak of Brachas concerning the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. The first mishnah in the second parak speaks about Hayakor B'Toyra, a person's laning in Parshas Vaschanan, and he happens to get up to, lo and behold, he gets up to the Parsha of Shema, and he looks at his watch, oh, it's, so it happens to be his Bar Kriya Shema. So he's preparing his Bar Mitzvah Parsha. I used to joke with Mer Yaakov all the time, his Bar Mitzvah Parshas Vaschanan. So whenever we would be preparing something at night, if we were ever chazing the laning, so I'd always say, oh, did you say Kriya Shema? Say Kriya Shema quick, there's a mishnah right now. So Hayakor B'Toyra, Vigiyaz Bar Kriya Shema, whether you yaitse Kriya Shema or not, because I didn't really have kavana to be yaitse. So there was a whole discussion about this. So come to Rishonim and have a major machlokes. What's the issue of kavana as relates to Kriya Shema? So the Ramban understood that the issue of kavana for Kriya Shema is the same as all other mitzvahs. That if you hold the mitzvah tichus kavana by shofar, matzah, lulav, whatever you hold by other mitzvahs, it's the same issue by Kriya Shema. And if you take the view that mitzvahs ain't shirchas kavanah and kol Torah kula, then mitzvahs ain't shirchas kavanah by Kriya Shema as well. That's what the Ramban and the Machamis writes. And the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba doesn't know. If you look carefully at the Gemara, you'll notice that there's a brish ketoris, says the Rashba, that there are two halachas of kavanah. There's kavanah, what we call a din klali of kavanah. That's the kavanah that permeates all areas of halacha. And let's say before you put on tefillin, before you sit in the sukkah, and before you make kiddush, and before you bench, anytime you do a mitzvah, so you have to have kavana l'shem mitzvah. What does that kavana mean? What does that entail? Just l'shem mitzvah. That's it. There's no lumdas, no fancy. You don't say hini muchens l'shem yichas. There's nothing. Just you should have in mind that you're doing l'shem mitzvah. It takes about a split second to have that in mind. L'shem mitzvah. That's it. And again, what the Mishnah Berurah told us is that technically speaking, it suffices even if I don't have that. Even if I don't think l'shem mitzvah, as long as I'm not doing it for anything else. So as long as I'm just doing a mitzvah stam, so that's considered to be l'shem mitzvah, that's all there is right no more, concerning most mitzvahs in the Torah. But, says the Rashba, Kriya Shema is different. Why? Kriya Shema, in addition to the rule that you require kavana like any other mitzvah, there's a second level of kavana, and that's kavanas ha'inyan, kavanas perishamilas. Namely, that the person should be concentrating. Number one, he has to understand what he's saying. If you don't understand the words, then it's hard to concentrate. And not only do you have to know what you're saying, but you have to be concentrated, to be cognizant right now what I'm saying, and paying attention to what I'm saying. That's a second din of kavana, nothing to do with the first din. One is a din klali mitzvah sirus kavana, and one is a din prati enuchas Kriya Shema. And in addition to the din klali, you have to have in mind to paying attention, concentrating on the meaning of the words. And if you don't, says the Rashba, then you're not yet say Kriya Shema, even a love of deraisa. Where in the world did this second din come from? What's it based on? If it's a din that's not relevant to other areas of halacha, it's got to have some mokh, it's got to have some posuk. What's the source for this din? So that becomes a little bit more problematic. So the Gemara has a machlokes, the way the Rashba learns from the Gemara, where is the machlokes, how far into Kriya Shema must you pay attention to? The fact that you have to have l'shem mitzvah, that's for the whole Kriya Shema, that's no question. But the fact that you have to pay attention to each and every word, until what point of Kriya Shema is that then true? So the Gemara has a whole series of different opinions. One opinion says for the first parsha, and one opinion says until Alev Avecha. One opinion says just the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, and that's how we pask it. We pask it just the word of Shema Yisrael. So if you hold that you have to have kavana of perisha inyan, perisha milas, until Alev Avecha, or until the end of the first parsha, so then I understand, where does it come from? It comes from Alev Avecha. It means Alev Avecha means that you have to pay attention. Alev Avecha is telling me it's not enough just to say v'dibar tabam, just to say the words of Shema v'shachal v'kumecha. You have to be Alev Avecha, you have to pay attention. So if you hold that you have to have kavana until Alev Avecha, so then I understand. Until that point, that's the exact cause of Alev Avecha. Or if you say that you have to have kavana for the whole first parsha, then I understand Alev Avecha is being chaled in the whole parsha. But we paskin like neither of one of those opinions. We paskin that you only really need kavana, the second level of kavana, for the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. So in Cain, where does it come from? It can't come from Alev Avecha. Alev Avecha is three pasukim later. So that's the unclear part. So according to the Rashba, that there's a mitzvah diaraisa, a din diaraisa, you have to have kavanas perisha inyan perisha milas only for the first pasuk of Kriya Shema. From where? We're not immediately where it come from. So l'chora, the answer is it comes from another word. It doesn't come from Alev Avecha. It comes from the word Shema. Vin Shema means a lashon havana. The same way it says in Parshas Miketz, Vehem lo yadu ki shomer Yosef ki melitz bin Osam. It says that the brothers didn't know that Yosef was listening. They didn't know Yosef was listening. Yosef was standing there. They didn't know he knew how to hear. So the answer is, ki shomer Yosef, there means to understand. Shemiah sometimes means to hear physically, and sometimes it means to understand. So over here, It means Shema Yisrael, understand Klal Yisrael. It means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, it's not enough just to say the words of Adibartabam. Shema Yisrael is a Lashon Shemiyah, a Lashon of Havana, and you have to understand it, you have to pay attention while you're saying it. So that seems to be the Mokor. There is no other Mokor, so we just made up a Mokor. Must be, that's the Mokor for the way we pass it in Shulchan Aruch, that you have to have in mind, L'shem, Inyan of Kriyishma during the first pasuk. So again, this is a din prati. This is not to do with Ashir. For the purpose of Ashir, we're talking about mitzvahs, tichas kavana, that's for lulav shayfa. It's all the mitzvahs are bound by the general din minatora of mitzvahs, tichas kavana. And then you find by Kriyishma this new dimension of kavana's perisha inyan, which we're guessing that that's probably where the mocha comes from, because we don't really have any mocha beferish. We have the mocha b'alav avecha, but that's according to the days that we don't paskin like. So go upon him, at least we're maviach, there's a din klali of kavanah mitzvahs that applies to all mitzvahs, maybe the exception of the rabbanans, maybe the exception of the chaveros. And in addition to that, there's another dimension of kavanah, that's the kavanah that's required for creation. So from next week, we'll continue along the lines of this discussion in terms of kavanah for mitzvahs, what mitzvahs do require kavanah, what mitzvahs perhaps don't require kavanah, perhaps different degrees of kavanah, and hopefully we move on to kavanah outside of the realm of Averis, outside the realm of mitzvahs, and to other realms of more related to Choshev Mishpat, Evan Ezra type of areas, where kavanah also plays a role in halacha.